Today, what is up with WhatsApp? Such a familiar sound, one that you might hear dozens of times a day. It means you've got a new WhatsApp message. In my case, maybe from colleagues, maybe from my husband, my mum, dad, extended family, old friends. I'm not alone in having a very close relationship with WhatsApp. But earlier this month, millions of people decided to download WhatsApp's competitors instead.
On 6th of January, WhatsApp users across the UK and the rest of the world, so 2 billion users, got a notification message. The message issued a new privacy policy and it said, accept these new terms or delete your account.
Journalist Kate O'Flaherty wrote about the fallout for The Observer.
After WhatsApp had put out the message, viral messages started across social media, including on WhatsApp, ironically. There was also a message or a tweet from Elon Musk, who has 42.9 million followers, and it simply said, use Signal.
Why are millions deleting WhatsApp?
Now, the popular messaging app WhatsApp has come under fire for a new privacy update, which has...
Welcome back. Tonight we're focusing on the fine print of a new privacy policy affecting WhatsApp users.
Facebook's WhatsApp has given most of its 2 billion users an ultimatum.
Will Facebook read your WhatsApp messages?
Signal, an alternative secure messaging app, got more than 7 million new users within weeks, surging up the download charts. And Telegram, another messaging platform, racked up 25 million. From The Guardian, I'm Anushka Astana. Today in Focus, what caused the exodus to WhatsApp's competitors earlier this month? Kate, you report on privacy and security issues, particularly cybersecurity. And you wrote about what happened with WhatsApp earlier this month when millions of people downloaded Signal and Telegram as alternatives. What's it been like following the story?
Oh, it's been fascinating. I mean, what's been really interesting is just the way it was handled. And that's also the thing that's really impacted WhatsApp very negatively. So the privacy policy itself was not at all clear. It didn't read in a clear way. It had been previously announced in October, but it just suddenly appeared on people's phones. So when this popped up and people started talking about it, I mean, people follow the viral message, don't they? And that viral message was, oh, they're going to start sharing the content of your messages. So you could be sending, you know, messages to your friends or your groups or whatever else. And these messages are now going to be shared with Facebook. This wasn't actually the case.
We're going to get to what actually was the case. But first, let's just go back to basics on WhatsApp. Obviously, I know what it is. As I mentioned, I use it a fair bit. But why did it get so massive? What makes it stand out?
WhatsApp is the most popular messaging service by far. Its real selling point in terms of its security has always been the fact that it's end-to-end encrypted. It means that the communications at any point aren't being seen or accessed by WhatsApp. WhatsApp doesn't have the key to view that information, so it could never see that information, and it means that the government can't view this information either. So WhatsApp doesn't have the key. WhatsApp can't give the key to a government or to anyone else to read these messages. So they're very secure and private.
And that obviously made WhatsApp take off. And then everyone you can think of basically got hold of it. I mean, whose mum hasn't got WhatsApp on their phone? So when that message went out at the beginning of the year that you're talking about, it went to a lot of people. Tell me exactly what the changes were that they announced.
So the changes were really about the way that people communicate with businesses. So you can use WhatsApp as a method of communication rather than going on a website and using web chat or something like that. The interesting thing as part of the update is that some businesses will be able to choose WhatsApp's parent company, Facebook, to securely store messages and respond to customers. And it says very specifically here, while Facebook will not automatically use your messages to inform the ads that you see, businesses will be able to use chats they receive for their own marketing purposes, which may include advertising on Facebook. So that itself is maybe a slight concern for some people.
And are these changes going to affect all WhatsApp users?
No. The changes in the EU are very different, and that is because in Europe we have a very strict regulation, the General Update to Data Protection Regulation, which is known as GDPR. That regulation is very stringent in terms of what data is allowed to be shared, whether that data could be used, for example, to identify a person, and for what purposes the data can be shared as well. So if we were talking about sharing data for ad purposes, Facebook would have had to prove that there was a valid reason to be doing so. And you also have to seek active consent as well and give people the option to opt out.
So what does this new business feature mean for users?
Not a lot, really. I mean, it's up to you if you choose whether to use that feature to communicate with businesses or not.
Okay, so arguably a bit of a niche business feature. And you say it won't affect your average user chatting with friends and family. So how did WhatsApp respond to the initial backlash?
Well, WhatsApp was very concerned, quite rightly, and they issued a clarification saying that the new policy only affects the way that people interact with businesses, not with their friends, and isn't any new data collection that didn't happen before. They also delayed the policy by another 3 months, which they said was just to give people a chance to understand it. And I think it was also because there was a bit of a panic because they could already see that there was this mass exodus of people going to these other secure messaging apps.
But to be honest, it doesn't sound like that response was enough to stem all the concerns. So there's clearly more to this, isn't there? Why has it provoked such a massive reaction?
Mainly it's because it has raised awareness of the amount of data that WhatsApp does actually collect. So it doesn't take the contents of your messages. That is end-to-end encrypted and there is no sharing of that whatsoever. But what it does collect is what we call metadata. That is technically data about data.
Data about data.
Yeah. And that is basically the kind of what, where and when about a data. So with a message, it will be what time a message was sent and from what location or IP address it was sent from. So it can kind of be quite revealing of behaviour. It's used in law enforcement, for example, to track people and to prove where somebody has been or whether a photo is real or where a photo was taken and that sort of thing.
And is WhatsApp giving that information to law enforcement?
Yes, it can happen.
So essentially, I write you a message. WhatsApp doesn't know exactly what I've said to you, but it knows I've been in contact with you. Mm. It knows where I am and it knows where you are. Why does WhatsApp want that information?
It says it needs information to help the app to perform. It needs certain amounts of information just to connect you with other people. For example, you have to give your phone number. But it doesn't have to collect the information because if you look at Apple's privacy labels, which detail the data that an app collects, if you compare WhatsApp's to Signal's, for example, the secure messaging app that we mentioned earlier, Signal's information that is linked to you as a user is actually zero on the privacy label. And WhatsApp's got a pretty hefty list. It isn't as big as Facebook's list of information, but it's still pretty big. So it's not 100% needed.
And obviously, when we think about other companies that collect our data, while yes, they can give it to law enforcement, the bigger use is really to advertise to us.
Mm.
And to be honest, this metadata does feel quite impersonal. It feels like numbers churning back to the mothership. So how does it help companies to tailor their adverts to individuals?
Most of the data that's used for advertising is collected in a way that you will allow that data to be collected. So it isn't just metadata you're talking about here. But the dates, times, the location of where you are, even though this might be anonymized, it can give clues as to your behavior. And it's your behavior that's used for advertising.
Is that happening with WhatsApp?
Not at the moment, no. But that is what the concern is, that it will be integrated with Facebook in a way that means that WhatsApp will be popping up adverts to you. That's not what they're saying is going to happen. But because of the fact that WhatsApp is owned by a company that bases its model on advertising, its revenue is based on advertising, it's not mad to think that that might be where it's going.
It's a bit strange given that its whole unique selling point was privacy. Has it always collected this data?
Yeah, it's just that this is becoming more clear now as people are more open about the data that they're collecting, or they were trying to be more open. And unfortunately, it's hit a nerve just because the mention of Facebook just gets people's backs up now because Facebook's just got such a bad reputation.
You mentioned Facebook that people are inherently suspicious of. Is there a reason to be suspicious of the way Facebook could use our data?
I think there is. Facebook doesn't have the best track record. We had the Cambridge Analytica scandal in 2016.
Facebook admitted that a developer who had accessed the data of 50 million Facebook users later sold it to a political firm called Cambridge Analytica. That firm was later hired by the Trump campaign.
When Facebook bought WhatsApp back in 2014, they said that the two companies were going to be operated separately, so there would be no kind of integration between the two. But a couple of years ago, Facebook announced that it would be integrating Facebook and WhatsApp and the other company that Facebook owns, Instagram, at the back end.
Well, the EU has fined Facebook $122 million for providing misleading information about its 2014 takeover of the messaging service WhatsApp. The fine was prompted after Facebook told the EU that it would not link accounts across both platforms, but subsequently did so.
Basically, this meant that they were looking into integrating the messenger side of that. The reasons that hasn't happened are kind of disputed. I read last year that the reason that hasn't happened yet was actually a technical challenge. And that was because WhatsApp's got this end-to-end encryption and Facebook Messenger and Instagram Messenger don't have that. So it gets very complicated because you can either add encryption into those things, which isn't just as simple as like putting it in there. So that's kind of stalled at the moment, but we do know that that's a long-term aim. Facebook has introduced countless privacy policies without even asking users, and it advertises to people via the platform. And once people become aware of what it's doing and the sheer amount of data that it actually collects, people get very angry.
Obviously, these are worries for WhatsApp users, but have there been worries within WhatsApp itself?
Yeah, absolutely there have. WhatsApp founder Brian Acton left Facebook in 2017 over concerns about how the company was operating, and that was about the integration that was going to be happening between Facebook and WhatsApp. So he left and set up the Signal Foundation.
So Signal is clearly one of the winners out of this distrust with WhatsApp. Just tell me about it.
Signal is funded by the Signal Foundation. So it's basically not a private company. It's not funded by advertising like Facebook is, who owns WhatsApp. It also uses end-to-end encryption. So it is a very secure form of communication itself. Signal also contains quite a few features that are very similar to WhatsApp. You can text chat, you can video chat, you can audio chat, and all of those conversations remain encrypted.
And do they collect your metadata?
No, Signal doesn't collect any data at all. That was the good thing about it. The only thing that Signal needs is your phone number. So you do need a phone number to join Signal, and some people don't like that. But Signal's trying to move away from that itself with a unique PIN number. But at the moment, people have to make do with phone numbers.
OK, and as you said, Signal gained 7 million new users, but Telegram got even more, 25 million. Tell me about it.
Telegram is a secure messaging app which was used for communication in the Hong Kong protests. One of the things about Telegram that lets it down is the fact that it's not end-to-end encrypted by default. So basically, you have to enable end-to-end encryption on what they call secret chats. So in that way, it's not actually as good as WhatsApp, because WhatsApp is just end-to-end encrypted by default if you use it. So I would actually argue that Signal is probably the better option for security, at least.
Does Telegram collect your metadata?
Telegram does collect some data. It's not as much as WhatsApp, and Signal literally collects zero. And this is according to the Apple privacy labels. That's what I'm using as a source, because that is actually self-declared by the app developer. So Signal and Telegram and WhatsApp and Facebook will be the ones who are saying this is what data we collect on those apps.
Coming up, will any of this dent WhatsApp's dominance? Kate, you've talked about millions of people moving over to these other platforms, but you also mentioned that WhatsApp has 2 billion users. Mm. So is all of this just a chink?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a huge amount of 2 billion, is it? And lots of people are still using WhatsApp. I'm sure that people's mothers and grandmothers are still using it, and they probably don't really care. I mean, a lot of people, when they see privacy policies, do just go, oh yeah, okay, fine, and allow it.
And I can totally relate to that, because I sometimes put myself in that category. I joined WhatsApp because loads of other people were on it rather than simply because of the encryption. But longer term, do you think that it could start to have a big impact?
Yeah, I definitely think it can. The fact that this has happened at all, and that people have cared this much, that millions of people have moved away from it, and that there's been a big outrage about it, just indicates that people are becoming more aware of their privacy. Apple's whole unique selling point at the moment is about privacy, as in Apple has the devices, it's got the apps, App Store, and it's got the operating system. So there's this kind of walled garden of privacy with them, and they're not going to let people track you. They're going to out people like Facebook and that sort of thing. So there is a real drive in the tech world towards that happening, but it's kind of how far that expands and how long it's going to take to kind of make people actually get up and change that's going to be quite interesting to watch.
Is actually the answer something beyond any of the individual platforms and to do with how we as a society understand what is happening with these social media and understand what it means to provide our data and what that data is used for?
Yeah, definitely. I think it is, but it's not just understanding, it's how does that affect me? Because that is the pushback that people have against anything that mentions their privacy or that they shouldn't use a certain service is, well, what have I got to hide? And that attitude does still prevail, even though there are people and there are changes starting to happen. I don't think society is at the stage yet where they're saying, right, we have to use secure messaging apps. I wish they were at that stage, but the industry's got quite a long way to go to kind of educate people of that. Perhaps people will start to care a bit more if another Cambridge Analytica scandal comes out. But we've already had one. It's already happened and people are still using Facebook. So I don't really hold out that much hope, to be honest.
You wish people were doing it. But as I understand it, our producer contacted you via WhatsApp. So are you not leaving it?
No, I'm not going to leave WhatsApp. I would like to leave WhatsApp, and that is because it's owned by Facebook, not because my messages aren't secure on WhatsApp, because I totally have complete faith in its end-to-end encryption protocol. But the reason I have to stay on WhatsApp is because everybody else uses it, really. You know, my mum uses WhatsApp. I've got absolutely no hope of getting her to download Signal on her own. It's difficult and it's a challenge. And I think a lot of people are the same. So no, I'm not leaving it, sadly.
Right, because at the end of the day, even if people are thinking twice and downloading these alternatives, they might still keep WhatsApp, because something like Signal is only really useful if all your mates are on it too.
Exactly. It does mean that everybody needs to be on it. And that's going to take a very, very long time to get anywhere near what WhatsApp is. I mean, 2 billion, it's not a small number, is it?
Kate, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was journalist Kate O'Flaherty, who covers privacy and cybersecurity. Do read her Observer piece on this at theguardian.com. We put some of the points raised in this episode to WhatsApp and Facebook. WhatsApp said they're aware about the level of confusion and misinformation surrounding their most recent update and wanted to make it clear that it does not expand their ability to share data with Facebook. They stress they do not have access to the contents of people's messages. However, they say there are categories of metadata which we use to help keep people safe. Those include cooperating with law enforcement where there is evidence of child exploitation or terrorism. They say not all private messaging apps are willing to prioritise safety in that way. They said they were focused and excited about building new features to help businesses so they can provide customer support and even sell products via messaging. WhatsApp would not say how many people have deleted their apps since the update, but stressed that people downloading alternative messaging apps does not necessarily mean they have removed WhatsApp, and their downloads continue to grow. Facebook said they had nothing to add to that. That's it for today. This episode was produced by Courtney Youssef and exec'd by Michael E. Rao. Sound design was by Axel Cacoutier. The executive producers are Nicole Jackson and Phil Maynard. I hope you have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday.